This is it! Make the best out of it!
You know me from the person who says, download the McDonald's app and enjoy your work points! And then I change immediately and I say, Hardee's, go all in, only the Hardee's. And then, اتصالات, together, matters. And then, order your favorite food on طلبات, طلبات, order now, whatever you need, immediately, with طلبات. And at the same time, you know me from, Mall of the Emirates welcomes you. مرحبا بكم في Dubai Opera. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dubai Aquarium and Underwater Zoo. السيدات والسادة, مرحبا بكم. Where else? What else have I done? Everything. It's pretty insane.
You've tuned into another episode of My Sarwa Story, brought to you by Sarwa Talks. The show helps you learn the financial habits, hacks, and attitudes of people in the Middle East to help you better manage your financial well-being.
Do you believe do what you love and the money comes?
Yes. I don't believe in that. It's the only way.
So here you are as a teenager building something, a business around what you love. How did you then learn how to run a business and how to financially, viably make that business work?
Since I was a kid, I wasn't good with managing my money. I like buying stuff and specifically buying things for others. I very much like being the guy paying for lunch, paying for coffee. I'm talking from a young age. Well, back then it was juice rather than coffee. And I always liked leaving an impression, possibly the best impression I could on almost anybody I met.
Okay.
And due to the capabilities of me being extremely good in talking and not being afraid of pretty much anything or anyone, I didn't have a fear factor between me and communicating with another human being, which is a vital thing when it comes to how we communicate generally, regardless of business, just as human beings. I always started off with a high tone like, hello. So I'm welcomed. I figured that out naturally. Mm-hmm. And due to the lack of internet and electricity in Lebanon, we were bored. I was bored. So basically, because of that, I understood the value of money. That was the first thing that happened because I had none of it. And I understood the value of starting from nothing and focusing on myself first.
How do you price your work?
See, it's all relevant to how I learned how to make a business as we're talking. So it's very connected. So basically, should I talk about this now? You know what? Yes. Between 15 to 17, I was successful in making music for Arabic musicians. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew this about me, and I became a bit of a known person in my area specifically. Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, you're hanging out with like actual superstars and stuff going on TV. My mom found out because I was wearing a shirt similar to my Lotus shirt. I was wearing a Puma shirt that had a big logo, and my mom saw it on TV while I was playing live, thinking I was sleeping at my friend's house in Tripoli while I was halfway through the entire country in Beirut with Nancy Ajram. Well, Zouk Misbah, to be specific. And Nancy Ajram is someone who is known by approximately 45 million people on average. That's how famous she is. And that's how big she is.
She is, yeah.
So for me to stand next to her and for her to give me a kiss on live TV and say that I'm a genius next to people, that really helped my ego. And what else? I mean, I just understood my value from right there and there. And I was pushing it so much until, unfortunately, August 2, 2012. I was involved in a major car accident that my best friend was driving. My other best friend was the passenger. And I ended up becoming the only and sole survivor after a month and 3 days in a coma and 40 seconds with my heart stopped working and came back to life with no defibrillators or medical attention whatsoever. I actually have a half-written death certificate in my mom's closet on the top left side if you want to validate.
How did that change your perspective on life?
I was not religious, but now I'm pretty sure of not being religious. This is it! Make the best out of it! Don't think too much!
Did it change your relationships in life?
It made me value life more for sure, but I'll tell you what it did. It told me that there's a reason why I'm alive. Even though I'm not religious, I do believe in higher energies. I believe in a lot of stuff between me and me, but it's not something that people can sort of put on paper. It's not inspired by somebody's story. It's not inspired by a religious book. It's none of that. So in short, I do me, and I've been an extremely private person to me my entire life. And no one's affected me more or less other than my mother, my biggest brother, and a few handful of people my entire life. So because that, I've never had someone to tell me what's right and wrong other than the basics, and I figured the rest of it out. I'm just really smart in life. I'm really street smart. I'm really good with people. I'm honest and transparent and genuine. I'm grounded and humble. Definitely egoistic though, duh. And try driving a Ferrari and then not be egoistic. I'm joking. It's a good car, but it doesn't make you who you are. Plus, please, people, like all of you who love money, they're pieces of art. You don't own a Ferrari. You don't own a Lotus. You don't own an Aventador or a Lamborghini. Well, you shouldn't own a Lamborghini. They're horrible. But when it comes to like Ferraris, Lotuses, or Maseratis and all that, you don't actually own these. These are timeless pieces of art. So, look, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. But this car accident is what set my life in motion. Mm-hmm. It made me who I am. It really gave me, not the boost, I always had that motivation. I always had that drive. Just to tell you, like, okay, personally, I mean this.
Yeah.
I am known as the most hyper bunny. And the only thing I found out how to do throughout all these years post-car accident is how to not waste anybody's time. How to not waste words. How to not waste conversations. How to not waste relationships.
How do you not? As in, how do you know not to?
Yeah. I just figured out how the conversation should go. I figured out how a flow is. Even the way I talk is somewhat poetic. I'm fully aware of what I'm doing. I'm aware of every word and every structure. Now that I've mastered it. But back then, it happened naturally. People liked me. They'd see me and I'd go and be like, hello. They love me. And that's great. Because there's nothing not to love. I'm not a liar. Because these people exist.
Mm-hmm.
The evil exists. So the good should be celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
This is a matter of a fact. And I'm just a vehicle in motion, delivering these messages and growing these businesses. This is precisely what it is. So yes, this car accident changed my entire mentality and pushed me forward in a completely different manner. And when you have your back, leg, left hand, almost losing your left eye and a spleen taken out of your stomach and the rest of your body broken, sitting in a bed where you can barely move your neck for over a month and a half, and then having to relearn how to walk and use your left hand from zero as a musician.
I was just about to say you can't do your work
as a musician.
Like that.
Imagine what you'd be going through, plus the death of your closest friends on the planet. So that is what pushed me forward. I came to Dubai and I made it happen. And I had only one job for 3 months. Then I was fired after that. Happily fired after that. And in just 2 months, I made triple my salary in a week.
So I was going to ask, how did that incident change your relationship with money?
I always loved having money. And
why? Why do you always love having
freedom.
Money?
Okay. Money was freedom. When you come
financial
from,
freedom.
Absolutely. When you come to a place or live in a place like Tripoli in Lebanon, we grew up with nothing. And my dad is an incredible man who made us really live a good life compared to others. I mean it. Mm-hmm. You know, we live in a nice
even
area.
Even with limited means.
Absolutely. I mean, throughout my childhood, I didn't feel like there were limited means, but if I wouldn't go to my dad and be like, hey, I want a brand new car, that was not possible. I wouldn't go to my dad and be like, hey, I want my allowance to be $100 a week or something. It was around $50 a month, maybe less actually, 40 something. Mm-hmm. And at 14, 15, that was not enough to hang out with my friends. It wasn't enough to enjoy life. But he bought me my instruments, he took care of me, and I'm the youngest of four. So yeah. I'm the young. I mean, three others. I have my big brother is here, also in finance, VP of Western Union. My sister holds a PhD in immunology and a master's in biology in France. She's a French citizen now. And my brother is an American citizen. And then my brother Wasim is in Australia to be an Australian citizen, holding a master's in MBA, a master in, what's it called, HVAC, which is like the AC and stuff like that. And I don't even have a high school degree, but the people that work for me have all these things.
Growing up in a household with older siblings, did you learn a lot about money habits and money behaviors from them?
Absolutely. Because my brother used to save a lot of money. The one who's right directly above me, the one in Australia, he used to be very good with money. And my sister
traveled. What would he do with his money that he'd save?
He bought the first guitar at home when I was 8 years old that sparked this entire thing.
Okay.
He wouldn't let me touch it. So my dad, instead of making me save up my own money, he went and bought me one.
It's
my size, because it was such a big guitar, so you got me
your size back then?
Back then, yes.
Okay.
I believe now I can hold it like this.
You still have that guitar?
Yes, it's at home.
Okay.
It's what made me so.
So you make most of your wealth from your business. I can see you're very talented. You have great network here in the UAE. Is there any other way you make money? Do you take that money, reinvest it, and have other sources of income?
I mean, I own a house. I own cars that are appreciating, thank God.
Oh, no. Your cars are assets?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. So this vehicle that I have, the Lotus Evora 410, there's 300 in the world. This is number 297.
It's literally works of art then.
Yeah. They're hand-built. And it says inside, hand-built by Carl Knox, whatever, from in the UK, blah, blah, blah. And like my Lotus, since I bought it, it jumped in value around $6,000 just since a few months ago.
So do you buy them because they're assets or do you just genuinely love them? Okay. And they happen to be assets, so that's like a plus.
No, I plan on what I'm buying. If I'm buying a Ferrari, I would never buy a new Ferrari. It's useless. Okay. Unless it's a certain type of limited edition. There's a way to flip cars. You need to be intelligent about it. You need to find a way on how to do it and why. So my money habits when I was young was entirely focused on the fact that I had none of it. I needed to make a lot of it. And I knew because I'm street smart, I can pull it off. No one believed in me at that time because I was a kid. Mm-hmm. But I felt like, you know what? I held a $100 bill in my hand and it felt good. It felt like freedom. It felt like I can do a lot of stuff.
Hmm.
And it felt like I had power, real power. And I didn't really care for the fame when it started around 16, 17 because of the Lebanese artists. All I wanted was the money. And they used to tell me, oh, you can do this. Well, you know, it's really good exposure for you, whatever. And as a 16-year-old man, I can have 30 kids standing in line dying for that opportunity. And I'm like, no, if you don't pay me $300 for the night, I'm not going to do it. And they did.
So you value your time, you value your work.
Since the age of 16, yes.
That's not a lot of things people value. Good for you.
Well, my friend is a 20-year-old crypto millionaire, so everybody has
their way. What coins has he invested in?
A lot. His name is Sammy Loyal. Check him out.
Okay, we will check it out. Maybe we'll invite him on the show. That will be pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Sammy, if you end up on the show, you're welcome. So, no, he's a genius. We just had an amazing night together, just talking and brainstorming. And yeah, he's I never say this about a kid, but he's a genius.
Oh, wow.
He's a literal genius. And yes, he's the one pushing me.
Does he push you to buy crypto?
He's not pushing because he's awesome, because he's smart, because he knows as an artist, I'm not the kind of person who cares for that too much. And I'm not as ambitious in the finance world because I don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm aware I don't understand it. And yes, I know I can park $100,000 somewhere and it's going to increase or whatever. But if I literally make a little, I don't know, like for humanity that you've heard for the vaccine, which is a little jingle, and make 100,000 dirhams for half an hour's work,
mm-hmm.
the hell do I care about return investments of 4% every 6 months?
So where's all your extra cash parked? So you have a house, you have some cars. Is everything else in the bank account?
My mom and my dad are very happy people.
You're amazing at communicating value proposition, by the way.
It's just, look, I just understand my product so well because I'm so in love with it. And it wasn't like when I was with a friend of mine who introduced me to a bunch of investors. And by the way, I can do all of this by myself. I'm just doing investors because someone has to benefit from this other than me. And I do need different types of help when I need it. So I'm letting a few people on board.
Smart money.
Yes, smart money. Oh, nice. I like that. You're smart.
I'm in the finance world.
Exactly. So that's what you guys call it. Yes. So basically what happened is I sat down with my friend. He's like, okay, so this is how you got to talk. And this is how you got to look at him straight. And I'm like, huh?
Isn't this how you need to pitch to the investors?
Yeah. He's trying to tell me. He thinks like, you know, because it's the first time I pitched to an investor ever. Because I've done everything by myself. All my cash is liquid. It's mine. And I looked at him like, huh? He's like, listen, Ahmed, whatever. He's a very good, he's a very important person. His dad owns the map. He's that big.
Okay.
So basically, Faisal is one of my personal best friends. Sorry, I touched the mic. Sorry, I touched the mic. Can you hear this now? When I take you forward on a journey like no other. So basically, we're talking about it. And I'm like, don't worry about it. He's like, yahi, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, they came in, put on a show for them. I think they wanted to give me a few extra millions because they like me so much.
Okay. So was it what you were saying in your pitch, like the various check boxes, or just the fact that you can communicate really well?
I'm a show.
Oh, I'm super entertained in this conversation.
I am a proper show. I'm meeting Will Smith at 3 p.m. on Friday. Can't tell you where
you'll probably find it. Can I get an invite?
Bit hard. He made sure of that.
Oh,
I'll let you know.
Okay, let me know.
He's in Dubai for a while and we've been talking for a bit. He's a very humble guy, by the way. You have no idea. But anyway.
I hear. No. Love to see that in person.
Like all I want to do is just sing Bad Boys with him and get it on social.
Oh my God, do it.
Gonna do
Are
it.
You going to do that? Cool.
Yeah, do
okay.
So basically what I'm trying to say is that I love everything and I love life and I don't sleep enough. Duh, as you can see.
couldn't see.
I mean, this is my natural energy, but at the same time, like, I'm literally on 3 hours because of this Sammy guy, my friend, because we were talking throughout the entire night. And yeah, it's just insane. And then I had to wake up early, and then I presented the new sonic branding I did for this company. And as you can see, like from the different towns all the way up from McDonald's. And like, check this out. So this is McDonald's in English.
Okay.
The new spicy Big Mac from McDonald's, a spice like no other. And then in Arabic, like the first initial few milestones around 21, 22, I physically couldn't believe. Like, I held one check for 36,000 dirhams in my hand. I'm like, how? I was actually terrified. I was paranoid. I put in the account and I was paranoid that it's not going to clear.
Okay.
I was straight up paranoid for like, yeah, almost 24 hours. I was paranoid until I got an SMS. And I looked at the SMS and that's the money in the account. And I'm like,
this is real.
This is real. Mm. That's my first $10,000. I made it in a week.
Very nice.
A week.
Good for you.
So, oh, that's nothing. That's pennies now. But basically back then, that was a lot of money for me. Mm. You know? And none of it changed me because I view money as a vehicle.
I was just going to ask, had you not been paid as much, would you be doing what you're doing? Or would you have thought, I love treating people out so much, maybe I find a different profession?
Good question. I have no idea.
My Sedwa story is brought to you by Sedwa. Visit sedwa.co and download our app to invest or trade today. Sedwa. The views expressed by our guests are their own and not part of Sedwa. Sedwa is regulated by the ADGM Financial Services Regulatory Authority, FSRA, and DFSA. All examples are for illustrative purposes only and are not intended as one-on-one financial advice. Please keep in mind that past performance is no guarantee of future results. Additionally, investors are encouraged to do their own research and due diligence. All investing involves risk.